Hindus are the original tree huggers. This is where the Save the Earth people came. They're Hindus by nature because the Hindus worship creation. They have gods, about 30 million of them or so, but they worship trees and the sun and the moon, the essence of creation. They worship the creator rather, or the creation rather than the creator. Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 1. Okay, now I get it. That's why the lioness is used to represent Buddhism. At least if you're going to throw out God, which the Buddhists do, give no account to a creator, you're going to make a big deal out of humanity. Well, that's the next best thing, I guess, because man is made in the image of God. But if you're going to, you know, incorporate God or 300 million of them into your religion, you might as well make him accessible through his creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, and hug a tree while you're at it. Good morning, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and we're delving into the next easternmost religion, westernmost religion, I should say. We started in the Far East with Buddhism. Now we're moving to the West, and next in line, as you look at your map from right to left, would be the Hindus. And these are these nice folks who are hugging the trees, worshiping the sun, are located in India. Now, the god of Hindu is Brahma. He's the supreme Hindu god. But I got this website, religiousportal.com. There aren't many gods, but they have their own branch of the Trinity. It's called the Trimurti. Not a Trinity. Don't call it a Trinity. It's a Trimurti. And they have 330 million gods and goddesses in Hindu mythology. That's a lot. I'd like to see that pile of trading cards, you know. I'll trade you two Shivas for a Brahma, or five Vishnus for a Brahma. Well, come to mention these deities, there are the three essences of the absolute reality, which are Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. I'm no expert on this. I'm just touching the highlights, and I'm sure that there are many Hindu experts. My friend Harsh Bhavsar from India is probably listening to me, rolling his eyes, going, Zender, you're crazy. But anyway, I can't do the Hindu accent, sorry. It's a good thing, too, because I would insult every Hindu out there. The wives of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are Saraswati, Lakshmi, and Parvati. Oh, I've seen this Parvati. I've seen statues of her. She's hot. She is one heck of a goddess. She has this amazing waist-hip ratio. Look up Parvati, P-A-R-V-A-T-I. Look at these statues. She has the waist-hip ratio going on, which I really like. Is it the curves? She's one hot goddess. Anyway, the Brahmins, they're the number one caste. Hinduism is based on a caste system. And that was where we're going to find the description given to Daniel by God. Brahmanas. Yeah, the Brahmanas are the priestly caste. They're the dominating priestly caste. And according to the Hindu religion, Brahma created the first man. This is their deity. The big boy, Brahma, created the first man out of whose head came the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are the priestly caste. They came out of his head, the dominating caste. Out of his hands, the hands of the first man created by Brahma, out of his hands came the rulers and warriors. This is the second caste. Out of his lower parts, these came the next two castes, the lowest castes. He apparently shit them out. They came out of the lower parts. I'm just quoting from the book here. The lower parts of his body came the merchants, which it's okay to be a merchant. You sell stuff. But after that, you have a fourth caste, and that's the menial laborers, the guys that work at the car wash, you know, the guys who clean the offices, the office toilets at night. This is the lower caste, the fourth caste of Hinduism. And among the Hindu cults, Brahmanism is prominent. It's essentially nature worship. So I started this show. They worship the creature rather than the creator. So there are many gods. You have gods in the sky, gods of the air and the earth. So that's why, again, it's a lower conception, because we're coming down from, at least the Buddhists say that man is the essence of everything. But the Hindus don't even do that. It's nature. But because it's nature, this religion, as a spirit coming out of the sea, has easy access to humanity because we're surrounded by it and people love nature. Save the earth, Gaia, the mother earth. Oh, this is the seat and the heart of recycling right here. And the Hindus invented recycling, I'm thinking. Segregate plastic from paper, from glass, from metal, from any other thing you can think of. What is it? What a fast food place. They have like 5 bins, and you're supposed to stand there and separate your hamburger wrapper from the carton where your dessert came in, and then put the plastic forks in another thing. Ain't nobody got time for that. So, but thank the Hindus for this, because they worship the earth and they're trying to save it. And they worship the sky. They worship the trees. They worship the sea. They worship fire, wind. They worship the sun. Well, I do too. So I'm sort of a Hindu in that way. I do like the sun. And remember, in 1 Corinthians 10:20, Paul mentions that the sacrifices that the nations offered, they sacrificed to demons and not to God. This is a religion of worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Now, technically, the Buddhists do that too, because they deify man. But man is on a higher order than the frickin' plants and the trees, even the sun. Man is higher than the sun. So the caste system is a one-sided arrangement with a Brahman. Why do I have trouble with this? The Brahman. If I'd had my glasses on, I would solve this problem, because honestly, it's a blur to me. I don't wear the glasses. And whenever I have problems reading, it's because the page is a general blur to me. I don't like the reflection here, even though I know I look scholarly in these glasses. The Brahmanas. The Brahmanas. Harsh, am I pronouncing that right? If you're watching, call and correct me. Dring. Oh, crap. No, there he is. The Brahmanas. It's a priestly caste, and it feeds. It lives upon the efforts of the lower class. Now, look at the elements of this she-bear. According to what God told Daniel, one part is set up, 3 ribs in the mouth, and it eats enormously. 3 ribs in the mouth of the she-bear, one part is set up, and the rest serve it. Let's read it. And behold, another animal, a second, like a she-bear. This is verse 5 of Daniel chapter 7. One part is set up, and 3 ribs are in her mouth between her teeth. Thus are they saying to her, rise, eat huge amounts of flesh. That's all it has to say. You see, we don't have a whole lot here to go by. And it's not like ultra specific. And we're not dealing with that, because then everybody would know this. But it's still there. But you have to do a little research. You have to look beyond the surface of the thing. That's why this stuff isn't written plainly. I get frustrated too. Why isn't it just written plainly? Why this mysterious language? 3 ribs in the mouth. Why is it all symbolism? Why did he have to see 3 bears? Why couldn't God say, and then a religion named Hinduism came up, then a religion named Islam came up? Because then it would be on the surface, everybody would know about it. God doesn't want everybody to know about it, so he uses this symbolic language, and he's doing the same thing in the unveiling. It doesn't mean, like some are telling you, that we're not supposed to know it. It just means that you have to look. You have to look hard. You have to do some research. You have to look under it. You have to sniff a little bit. And you have to have spiritual instincts. And if you have all those things, then you're going to get the answer, and you're going to be able to see what's going to happen here. So the caste system, very one-sided with the Brahman. I'm just going to call them the Bihas. The Bihas, that's the priestly caste. I'm tired of trying to pronounce this word. The Bihas, the priestly dominating caste living upon the efforts of others. This is what seems to be indicated by that which was said about the bear. One part is set up. One part is set up. The highest castes are set up above the other cast. How many more casts are there? Three. And there are three ribs in the mouth of the she-bear. And thus they are saying to her, quote, from Daniel 7, now rise, eat huge amounts of flesh. The three ribs might well then, and I believe they do represent the three lower castes. And they're treated like crap. Now, in Israel has a similar situation in that the priests literally ate flesh. So there's a correspondence here between the one true religion, Israel. The priests ate lots of meat. They had steaks every night from the sacrifices. They had bulls, lamb, leg of lamb. Sorry for all you vegetarians out there. Kelly won't like to hear this. She's a vegetarian. But this is an illusion, isn't it, of a priestly privilege. Now, these Bihams, they can do a lot of stuff. They perform ceremonies at temples, at sacred wells, at rivers, other places considered to be holy by the Hindus. They are present at all social occasions. They're these in the highest social strata of this religion. They're at marriages, births, deaths. They even cast horoscopes. They tell lucky days. You know, you could have a lucky day. What's my lucky day? I don't know. What's today? Wednesday, this is my lucky day. Or as Joel Osteen says, every day's a Friday. So every day's my lucky day. For me, every day would be a Wednesday. They mutter mysterious spells, they do, the Bihams. They make magical charms and incantations. But this is the important part, because this corresponds with the prophecy. They live upon other people who are as three ribs in their mouth. The caste system is well known to be one of the most cruel institutions within a religion that there is, within a religion. I'm not talking about now with the cruelty that a religion enacts upon others, but within the religion, it's very cruel. Now, this is interesting. The bear, you will find no wings. The she-bear has no wings. We were going to see that the leopardess has four wings. The lioness has two wings. The bear has no wings because unlike other animals and unlike other religions, Hinduism has been in a state of rest. It did not spread anywhere. It's never moved from its original home. It did not fly over the Himalayas like Buddhism did. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's stagnant. It's boring. Nobody wants to be a Hindu. The best thing they got going for them is the sitars. Pavarotti has great hips and a narrow waist. You gotta do research on that Hindu goddess. She's fantastic, and she wears some really sexy outfits from what I've seen, from the statues that I've seen. And it's still today eating enormously, the part of the religion that is set up. Look at this. This is a prophecy given to Daniel thousands of years ago, and one part of that religion is still set up. There are still three ribs in the mouth, and it's still eating enormously, and it's still Hinduism, and it's still in India. Tomorrow, let's start in with the leopardess, shall we?